reaching new heights. Still ask for favor.
Presents Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
I'm thinking of a girl. Very pleasant person, very attractive, too. She has cool hands, a nice voice, and a gentle manner. She's crisp and efficient, but she needs help badly. She's the American nurse, and her problem is this. There just aren't enough like her to go around. Not enough nurses for the hundreds of important nursing careers now open in hospitals, industry, research, the armed forces, and private duty. Now, you may not know the girl I mentioned, but perhaps you know someone very much like her. A young girl with at least a high school diploma, of good health and character. If you do, tell her this. America needs 50,000 student nurses this year. Tell her you think she might be one of them. If she agrees, have her stop in at the hospital nearest to her. She'll never regret it, and neither will you.
Now, tonight's adventure into the world of the unknown. The world of Dimension X. The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and a child waited outside, the little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside, and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about the doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom.
Oh, Mommy, look!
Yes, what is it, dear?
In the window of the shop, the tiny dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
Well, we'll ask him when he comes, dear. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. There he is.
Oh,
Henry, here we are.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
Well, we've been waiting for you. Cindy's been
so... I'm afraid I'll have to call off the shopping, Alma.
Oh, Henry, we promised.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Oh, some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, so the general wants a full report.
Oh, dear, what next?
Daddy!
Well, I have a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Oh, I haven't time, dear.
Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop. Say, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, I've got to run. Now, look, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense, Alma.
No, dear.
Bye.
Bye, dear.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Daddy. Oh, Mommy, look. Look, the band's going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? You know, it's funny. I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times, and I've never even noticed this shop before.
Good evening, children.
Oh, well, good evening.
Mommy, he talks awful funny.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santor Perigi?
Well, yes, we would.
This way.
Oh, Mommy, it's like fairyland.
Here in the shop of Santor Perigi, creator of Perigi's universal, wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Perigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
This one in the red jacket is Toto. Speak, little one.
How do you do?
Wonderful?
Mommy, Toto!
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That is nothing for Perigi's wonderful dolls. Listen, sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
My name is Toto.
Cindy, listen.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
Oh, more, Mr. Toto, more. Well, how do they work? Mr. Perigi.
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Perigi, greatest of all doll masters. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, huh?
Well, yes. Well, they must be very expensive.
Madame, when I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be parted from him permanently. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10. I have but one request. When you grow tired of my dolls, you must return to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home!
Oh, look, Mommy, look! He's bowing and dancing. Oh, Mommy, he wants to come. Please, I'll take such good care of it, please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well,
oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Perigi. Oh, dear, I have a feeling when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry! Now, Toto, this is my room, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. Oh, Toto, don't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. You be quiet, because my daddy will be home soon, and he's a colonel in the army, and he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Now, you wait here. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good now. Here, Blister. Come on, Blister. Come here. Mr. Blister, now this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Stop it, Mr. Blister. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on now. Let go!
Cindy, Mr. Blister, come over here. Why, what happened, dear?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look how frightened Toto is.
Dolls don't get frightened, Cindy.
But he is, Mommy. He screamed.
You just imagined it, honey.
But he did.
Well, Mr. Blister didn't mean it. You know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He isn't. He's nasty and I hate him.
Cindy, you hurt his feelings.
He tried to buy my new doll, and I don't ever want to see him again, ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Come on now. Cindy's angry at you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Why, Cindy, where did you hear a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Well, I see. Well, you've had an exciting day, honey. You brush your teeth now and go to bed. Daddy's coming home late, so we'll see you in the morning. Good night, darling. Sleep well.
I hate him, Mr. Toto. I hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
Just a minute. How was the staff meeting last night, dear?
Oh, horrible bore as usual. Where's the little one?
Up in her room. She'll be down in a minute.
Oh, say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? Mm-hmm. I left them in my strong box.
Henry?
Hmm?
You told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man. Nobody will have another difference.
Well, I suppose not.
Oh, dear, would you feed the puppy before we sit down? His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he? Hey, that's funny. Here's his supper from last night, only half eaten.
Getting fussy.
Blister? Hey, Blister! Blister! Where the dickens is that mutt?
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Oh, maybe. Here, Blister! Here, Blister! Alma.
Mm-hmm. What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Henry, is he?
Yes, he's dead.
But how? What happened?
Well, from the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
Poisoned? Who on earth would do a thing like that to an innocent little pup?
I don't know. Let's see his dish.
Oh, Henry.
I don't understand this at all. Say, what's this?
What's what?
Well, look, there are pieces of broken glass in his food. Blue glass.
Glass? Henry.
Huh?
Well, I just remembered something.
What?
It may just be coincidence, but in the bathroom this morning...
What about the bathroom?
Cindy's blue glass, you know, the one with the Mickey Mouse on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken, Henry. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Oh, Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Why, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
Well, he... Oh, he went after Toto.
Well, who's Toto?
Oh, her new doll.
You bought her one of those dolls?
Well, I just rented it.
Rented it?
Yes.
Look, Alma.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, all right. What's this got to do with Blister?
He went for the doll, and Cindy... Well, Cindy said... Henry, she said she'd kill him.
What? Well, that's ridiculous.
It's true.
Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food? She'd have to be a monster.
Mommy!
Now, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Good morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning.
Morning, Daddy.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Cindy. Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Cindy, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
Oh, no, I didn't break it.
Now, Cindy.
I didn't.
Well, now, somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother and it wasn't me.
Well, then it must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy... You know Toto was only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell untruths. Now, did you break your glass and maybe accidentally get some pieces into Mr. Blister's dish to sort of punish him for biting your doll?
Oh, no, Daddy.
I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on a doll.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no, he can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy,
Yes, dear?
But he'll come back. He has to come back.
No, he won't come back, honey.
Not ever.
No, Cindy, not ever.
Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Let her alone.
Daddy, you think I killed him?
You see what you've done. The child feels guilty enough, Henry.
Oh, dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
Feelings don't know any time, honey. When they come, they just come. You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in just a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. We'll be right up. Please. There, that's a good girl. And close the kitchen door behind you.
Dimension X will continue in just a moment.
You know, friends, Breakfast of Champions is a whole lot more than a phrase written across a package of Wheaties. There's one thing I could tell you. I could tell you that it means champions in the world of sports eat Wheaties. And it's so true. You bet it is. But I've got a better idea, and one I think you'll like. I think perhaps you'd rather get the story from a champion himself. So here is a champion. Will you introduce him, Ed Prentice?
Now, young man, will you tell us what you do for a living?
I pitch.
You what?
Pitch. You know, baseball. When you have a baseball team, you have to have a pitcher. I'm a pitcher. I pitch.
Oh, yes, I see. And are you on a team?
Yes, sir. I'm on the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, hmm? What is your name, young man?
I'm Bob Feller, and you know it as well as I do, Ed.
Sure I do, Bob. It's good to see you. This makes your 14th season playing with the Indians, doesn't it?
Yep, Ed. 14 years.
Well, tell me, Bob, how long have you been eating Wheaties?
Oh, about 20 years, give or take a couple.
You mean you started eating Wheaties before you started playing ball?
Why, of course. What's so strange about that? Most people start eating Wheaties before they get to playing ball. In fact, most people never start playing baseball. You don't have to be a ball player to enjoy the lift you get from Wheaties with milk and fruit.
You're right as rain, Bob. No champ ever said a truer word about Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, Cindy, you scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it, Mr. Blister?
Oh, Mommy.
Cindy, answer your mother.
Now, Henry, she'll work it out in her own way, dear.
Oh, I don't know. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Where this child is being brought up...
Henry!
Well, it's true. There's no respect. Lying. Oh, I don't know. Alma, what's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true.
Henry. You wanted to get some papers from your strong box.
What? Oh, yes, excuse me.
Will you try to eat something, Cindy, now, darling?
Yes, ma'am.
Alma! Alma!
Yes, Henry, what is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What's gone?
The box, the strong box is gone.
Well, it can't be. The door to your study's always locked, and you and I have the only keys.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would
I don't know, Alma. Those confidential reports, if they ever get into the wrong hands...
Oh, I warned you about keeping them here.
What if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers? Army colonel, derelict in duty.
Call the police, Henry.
What, and throw my career in the wastebasket after 17 years? And we've got to find it ourselves.
But it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
Well, what about your key?
Well, it's right here. I always keep it right with me. That's funny.
Oh, no.
But my other keys are all on the ring.
You've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do it?
Henry, please.
Come on, we'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Oh, dear, you're going to miss your staff meeting.
Well, all right, never mind the meeting. My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Now, somebody get hold of your key and open that room. I know, Cindy.
Oh, let the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't know my own child. I don't even know you.
Henry.
All I know is that strong box is gone with papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
Coming from upstairs.
What's that blasted doll again?
Something must have set it off. I don't know how the mechanism works.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's go up and shut it off.
Right.
Dodo, Dodo, Dodo! Kill him, kill him, kill him! How do you do?
Stop it.
How do you do?
Blasted little imp! There.
Henry.
But since we've got this thing...
Henry!
What?
Look.
Where? What?
Around the doll's neck. The key. The key to your study.
It was Cindy, after all.
I don't believe it.
Ever since she got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. First the dog, now this. I think she hates us, Alma.
Henry, Cindy is my child, and I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive little person with no malice in her.
You're just simply refusing to face the facts, dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. Cindy, you're not telling me the truth.
Yes, I am, Daddy.
Now, all I'm asking is that you tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took my strong box and hid it. Well? Cindy, I'm speaking to you.
I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. Oh, he's terrible, awful. He says things. He says he's going to kill everybody.
Oh, Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I told you.
Alma, I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, darling. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to go
up
there.
No, honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid. He's up there.
Who, Cindy?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Parigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Ah, Colonel Grayson. Welcome to the home of Parigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Parigi?
Santor Parigi, creator of the universal doll. The doll with the mind. The doll.
Yes,
with...
well, I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now, what is the complaint?
There's no complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto, rejected, you found the world of men too filled with hate.
Hate!
We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now... Colonel Grayson?
I think we have no further business, sir.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Ah, yes. Here it is. Do you recognize this, Colonel?
Well, that's my strong box. Where...
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I'm merely keeping it in custody.
What's your game, Parigi?
Blackmail. You give me what I want, I do not ruin your career.
Well, what do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department concerning a certain strange-looking sphere reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Parigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I'm not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world, men like you.
Hand over that strong box.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now.
No closer.
Now. Hello. Give me the police. Hello. This is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the rear. I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend!
Colonel Grayson!
Did I hear you speak?
Colonel Henry Grayson!
Oh, it can't be. I must be going out of my mind. A 6-inch doll... Shut up! Your master's dead!
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean? Never lived.
Santo Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But he's a man. He talks. He walks.
The people of Meritrix are skillful doll builders. us.
Meretrix? Doll builders? Who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meretrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon.
What?
So small that it cannot support our population.
That's true.
We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.
And you are human?
Quite human. Of course, in order to deal with Earth people without suspicion, we were forced to construct Perigi, a man-sized doll.
No, it can't be. I can't believe this. I'm having hallucinations. I've got to get out of here.
That will be impossible. We have weapons of destruction quite unknown to Earth people.
I phoned the police. They'll be here soon.
By the time they arrive, my people will have prepared something quite shocking.
Keep me covered, Brian.
Okay, Sarge.
All right. You the guy who turned in the call?
Yes, that's right, Sergeant.
Where's the body?
Well, you see, it isn't exactly a body.
What do you mean?
It's a doll.
A what?
Now, wait, you've got to let me explain. I know this sounds fantastic, but I've stumbled onto an unbelievable plot.
Yeah? Keep talking.
Well, you see, these little dolls, they aren't really dolls. They're tiny people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a big doll named Santor Parigi. They're using him as a front to run the shop.
He's off his trolley, Sarge.
Now, look here.
Now, listen, mister, we got a call that there was a murder here. Now, if there was one, where is the body?
Well, it's behind the curtains in the back. Only, you see, it isn't really a body. It's a big wax dummy. It's all part of their plot to gain control of the world.
Holy smoke, he's really off his rocker.
Now, look, if you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you. Come here. Look behind this curtain, and you'll see the dummy lying on the floor.
Welcome, gentlemen. Are you looking for something?
Parigi! This is impossible. I smashed his skull.
Do you know this guy?
That's the one, the doll.
What's your name, mister?
Perigi, Santor Perigi, creator of the universal doll.
Uh-huh. You ever see this man?
Never until just now.
That's not true. He's lying. I tell you, he's nothing but a big doll. The real masters are the little dolls.
Ryan, are you getting this?
He's wacko, Sarge.
No,
he's a fruitcake.
I'm not crazy, I tell you. I can prove it. They must have fixed up his head where I smashed it in. Touch him and you'll see.
Mr. Perigi, you know what this guy is talking about?
The man is demented, obviously.
No, that's not true. I tell you, there's a plot to control the Earth. I've got to call the War Department. They want to know about the flying sphere.
Holy mackerel, this gets worse every minute. Ryan.
Take him to headquarters.
No, save some time. Take him down to Psycho Ward.
Okay, all right, Buckle. Oh, just come along nice and quiet.
No, don't you see? He's nothing but a man-sized doll.
Sure, and the little ones are going to take over the Earth, and you're going away and cut out some nice paper dolls.
Oh, please, listen to me. You've got to listen to me. You've got to...
Sorry you had all this trouble, Mr. Parigi.
Poor chap. He is obviously suffering from delusions.
Well, he's not the only one in Washington today. You know, we've been getting a whole string of crack-ups lately. Bigwigs blowing their tops under pressure. If you could see some of the names in our confidential files...
You keep confidential files on cases like this?
Certainly. Believe me, they'd be dynamite if they ever got in the wrong hands. Well, I better be running along. Hey, is that a talking doll?
Yes, Sergeant.
My name is Toto. I dance and sing.
Well, I'll be. Hey, my little girl would be nuts for that.
So? Then please accept the doll for saving my life. That madman might have killed me.
Yes, but I...
Take Toto home with you as a gift.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Parigi. It's against regulations for us to accept favors.
But this is not for you. It is for your little daughter. And if you will only take the doll and give him a good home, you will be doing me a great favor.
Well, then, if you insist, and thanks very much. When my kid sees this, will she be surprised?
Yes, Toto will come as a great surprise. A very great surprise. Hey, Toto?
Tonight, Dimension X has transcribed Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, an original radio drama written by George Lefferts.
Les Damon appeared as Colonel Grayson and Joan Alexander as Alma, with Ninnis Alexander as Cindy. Joe DeSantis played Santor Parigi, and Leon Janti was Toto, the talking doll. Engineer Bill Chambers. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. And now, here is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin.
Look at your Wheaties in a cereal bowl and, well, they look pretty innocent, don't they? They're crisp, all right, and golden brown. And you know they've got that wonderful Wheaties nut-like taste. But where does all that energy come from? What is it about Wheaties that give you all those vitamins and minerals and protein? I'll tell you what it is. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Not just a portion of a kernel, mind you, but a whole kernel of wheat. Now, that begins to explain things, doesn't it? Tells you why Wheaties energy helps you feel good all morning long, like I keep saying. No wonder they're America's favorite whole wheat flakes. Breakfast of champions and all that. Now you know why Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Wheaties.
Next week, the strange story of a curse that came true. It's the story of the Castaways, another adventure into the unknown world of tomorrow. The world of...
Dimension X.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen Saturday, that's tomorrow night, to Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
You're listening to a moon coming to you from CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg. Here with Mr. Mumbles.
The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join the chase. There is always the hunter and the hunted, the pursuer and the pursued. It may be the voice of authority, or a race with death and destruction, the most relentless of the hunters. There are times when laughter is heard as counterpoint, and moments when sheer terror is the theme. But always there is the chase. For some people, there is only one chase and no other exists. The chase to secure and hold money. Nothing else matters. There is no love except for pennies, dimes, and dollars, and only hate for those who would deprive them of it. Hear those footsteps? A man running down a street in a cheap section of a city just after nightfall. Watch him. He's leading us to just such people. He darts across a narrow street without looking. He comes to the intersection of a street and alley just as a car turns the corner.
Hey, you hit him. How bad? He's dead. Well, what are we going to do?
Do? Get out of here. Drag him in that alley.
Yeah, but he's dead. That's hit and run. We ought to do
something. You hurt me. Drag him in that alley. Let's get out of here.
Yes, the man lying dead in the alley marked the beginning of a story. A very important story to Mr. and Mrs. Crocky, Albert and Carolyn, two lovely people who run a boarding house a few blocks away. It's a vital story to them because it involves money. And anything that involves money is more important than life itself to Mr. and Mrs. Crocky.
And another thing, Albert, you got to go up and see Mr. Sedgwick right this minute because he ain't paid his rent for next week. He's a new boarder. And it's best that we show him right off that we ain't going to put up with back rent.
Well, be a lot better if we get that Mr. Sedgwick out of here. I don't like the looks of him. Besides, he burns the electric a lot at night.
Oh, it's getting so too honest. People ain't able to run a decent, respectable place no more.
Mm.
Well, anyhow, you go right up and see that Mr. Sedgwick. It ain't right.
Who's there?
Your star boarder, Mr. Campion.
All right.
Good evening, Albert. Carolyn?
You ain't to call us by our first names. I told you that.
Oh, merely a friendly gesture on my part, Mr. Crocky. But I did not descend into these charming quarters of yours to discuss the amenities of nomenclature.
Now, stop that fancy talk. And don't bring that cigarette in here. You ain't been smoking in bed.
No, but it's an idea. At least the feeble glow would provide more light than the ceiling fixture.
Oh, you complaining again? Now, you look here, Mr. Uppity Campion. You're getting a good room at a reasonable rent. There ain't many boarding houses in the city.
No, you're perfectly right. There aren't many boarding houses in the city where the boarders have to race home at night to make sure they can get their own evening paper. Or where the owners get up at 4 a.m. to steal the cream off the top of the milk.
Are you calling us thieves?
No, I don't think so, Mrs. Crocky. I'd have to qualify that. Sneak thieves, I should say.
Stop it.
Let's don't argue about it. Well, now, what about the hot plate in my room?
What's the matter with it?
Well, it belies its name, Mr. Crocky. It is no longer a hot plate. It has become a refrigerator.
You broke it.
In the passage of time, sweet Carolyn, mechanical and electrical appliances do get out of order.
But we can't get parts, Mr. Campion.
All right. Let's go on to something else. The bedspread, for example. It's become one of the most exciting games I've ever played to find a spot in the spread free from holes. It embarrasses me when I have guests.
Oh, we can't afford a new one, Mr. Campion.
All right. We shall forget the bedspread and take up the subject of the ceiling fixture.
That ain't broke.
Well, no, not exactly. But it certainly is eccentric. It goes on and off, Mr. Crocky, like a lighthouse. No human hand touches it, and yet it flashes ambitiously, energetically.
Oh, you keep finding fault with everything.
Oh, but I'm not alone, friend Crocky. I am not alone. I heard Miss Barton complaining earlier tonight about her sink.
It's her fault. She combs her hair over it, and the hair falls in and blocks the drain.
Yes, but... Oh, I give up. Such slippery and adroit excuse-making is beyond my power of refutation.
Of what?
Nothing at all. Well, now that I've registered my complaint, I shall retire to the damp chill of the crypt I occupy, and for which I pay $68 a month.
If you don't like it, you can get out.
Well, that, Mrs. Crocky, is a line which becomes you so well. Good night.
Young puppy. For 2 cents, kind of.
2 cents? Such extravagance, Mr. Crocky, and from you, of all people. Good night.
Well, Albert, as soon as we can. We'll put him out.
No, Carolyn. It might be hard to rent that room. Yeah, he does pay regular.
Well. Mr. Sedgwick.
Huh?
You go right on up there and get the money for Mr. Sedgwick.
Oh, Carolyn. Now, maybe he'll bring it down. Night ain't over yet.
You're scared of him.
And I don't like the way he looks at me.
We'll both go.
Huh? All right.
There goes that Miss Barton. Run the water again to wash your hair. Miss Barton, you close off that water good. And don't use too much.
There. He knows all right. Her being a day behind with the rent.
Mr. Sedgwick?
Mr. Sedgwick?
Your lovely knuckles, Carolyn. You'll skin them.
You shut up.
Wouldn't you rather I told you that Mr. Sedgwick went out?
How do you know?
Well, I saw him leave his room and go out the front door some time ago. Now go away and stop pounding. I have work to do.
I'd like to slap that smart alecky Mr. Campion's face for him.
Now, never mind, Carolyn. Let's go for our walk.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Crofton. You are a remarkable couple. You do take the cream from the milk, and you do read the newspapers before the boarders get home to save a couple of pennies. And now you go for your walk. Oh, not for exercise, though. It's to save electric light bills. Every night it's the same. Down the same street, past the warehouse, over to the brewery and along the street running to the wholesale district until you finally get sleepy and turn homeward.
Albert, if that smart Mr. Campion tells you that he ain't using electric light and that lamp he bought, he's lying.
You just catch him at it. He's got enough light in his room. He don't need no more lamps. It's costing us money to put up with him.
That's right, Albert. Oh, money, money. We always got trouble.
Wait a minute.
That's a man laying there.
Yeah.
Drunk, most likely.
That's right. Honest people have to slave for their money. Some no good like this drinks it up.
I don't smell the liquor.
Maybe. I'm going to look closer.
Keep away from him, Albert. Maybe it's a trap. He might be a hold-up man.
Carolyn. Mr. Sedgwick. It is. Look.
What's the matter with him?
He's dead.
Albert.
Looks like maybe he got hit by an auto.
What's that?
His pocket. It's stuffed with money.
And him going off rent.
Look, Carolyn. It's so much.
Albert. What did you suppose?
Shh. Ain't nobody inside.
So much money.
Like as not, he come by it bad.
I never did like the way he looked. I'd like one of them gangsters.
He wouldn't do no good.
Oh, he owes us rent. It's his kind that was spent on some chorus girl.
You and me, we...
Albert, you gonna do it? Or ain't you?
Well, there ain't nobody watching. Ain't nobody saw before us either. There wouldn't be no money.
Albert.
No, come on. I got it.
So you've taken the money from Mr. Sedgwick, Albert and Carolyn. But look, isn't someone behind you? Faster. Walk faster. Just a shadow, wasn't it? But you didn't know that, Mr. and Mrs. Crocky. That money is heavy in your pocket, isn't it, Albert? Faster now, both of you. Hurry home to hide the money in the mattress. Yes, in the mattress with the rest of your miser's hoard. But faster again. The memory of Mr. Sedgwick lying back there is pursuing you, and you've got to get away. Faster now. Faster.
Carol.
Lock the door. You didn't lose it. Did you, Albert?
No, I got it right here.
Go into our room now. Put us in the mattress.
Well.
Mr. Campy.
Back early, aren't you? Were you expecting someone else?
No. No, I wasn't.
Well, what have you been doing? Running?
No. Why should we be running?
Well, I don't know. You might have heard the Nikolai dropped upstairs and were chasing each other to see who'd get it.
You ain't funny, Mr. Campion.
I wasn't trying to be funny, Alex.
Oh, you shut up.
Well, what's the matter with you two?
Mr. Crocky ain't feeling good.
As a matter of fact, he does look a little pale around the gills. Someone's been chasing him.
No, nobody chased
him. Why did you ask that?
Well, from the way you dashed in here, I thought perhaps you'd robbed a bank or something.
We're honest people.
To a certain extent, yes.
Are you calling us thieves again?
I explained that once before tonight. But you two certainly do look excited. And the only thing that could bring a flush to your careworn cheeks would be money. Perhaps left by a rich uncle.
You ain't got any uncle.
And that ain't no way to talk, Mr. Campion.
Okay. Okay, we'll forget it. I'm going for a walk.
A walk?
Well, sure. Why not? Ceiling fixture gave up the ghost altogether a few minutes ago. It can't work anymore.
Which way are you walking?
Well, does that make any difference?
Of course not. But it's their fault.
Nice. Catch a chill.
You know, your solicitude is amazing. Can this be the Crockies? The same people who all through the winter dole out heat by fractions of degrees?
Mr. Campion, that ceiling fixture, I got some wire. Maybe we could fix it.
Tell me, is your name by any chance Scrooge? Oh. What Marley's ghost accosted you along the way and forced you into a recognition of the error of your way?
Huh?
In other words, what the devil happened outside?
Nothing. You want that light fixed, do you?
Well, unless I'm to become a mole, light would be welcome, yes.
Then you go right along with Mr. Crocky, Mr. Campion.
What's the matter?
I see.
See what?
Mr. Crocky has...
What have I got?
The wire to fix the ceiling fixtures. And if I help him, it saves the electrician's fee for you.
You're always poking fun at us.
Oh, no, Mrs. Crocky. No, indeed. But, come along, Albert. You and I shall play Steinmetz to the ceiling fixture. Oh, and Mrs. Crocky.
Huh?
I should still like to know what encounter brought you to home before sleep deadened your elfin steps and dulled those brilliant minds.
You coming, Mr. Campion?
Certainly, Mr. Crocky.
Albert. You better leave that package with me.
Oh, I forgot.
Package?
Albert, give it to me.
I'm going to leave you alone with it. Mr. Campion.
Yes, Albert.
There's wire and stuff in the cellar. Now, you get it yourself. Here's the key to the basement.
Oh, no. Wonder of wonders, the key to the Crocky cellar. And shall I find vintage 19-2? Or perhaps the skeletons are former boarders.
You fixed a light, Mr. Campion. If there's anything you need, you can buy it tomorrow. We'll pay you for it.
Numb. Absolutely numb I am. This is the epitome of surprise. The key to the cellar, an offer of payment by the Crockies all in one evening. Oh, I shall certainly write this to Mr. Ripley. Nay, I shall insist upon another time capsule sunk into the ground to record this event for posterity.
You're going
to
fix it or not?
Well, certainly. Tomorrow may see the Crockies back in usual form. Therefore, tonight I shall gather the golden fruits of whatever occasioned this munificent behavior.
Calvin, you're a fool. You mentioned package and it ain't in the package.
I want to see how much is there.
We could have counted it later.
How do I know that you wouldn't have took some for yourself?
Oh, you shut up. Come on. We'll count it in our room.
So you count the money, Mr. and Mrs. Crocky. And how much is there? 100? Keep counting. 300? Oh, much more. 500? 7? 1,000? Keep counting. Perspiration is beading your foreheads. Your hands are damp.
a bill stick to your finger. They're all hundreds. 100 on each bill. 2,000, 3,500, and you're not through yet. Keep counting, counting. Your breath hot, your eyes glazed with greed. Ah, now you're finished counting.
$5,000.
We found it. We just found it. We went for a walk. We found it.
Not so loud. Don't wake everybody.
We're rich. Cedric gets run over by a hit-and-run driver, and we get his money. We're rich.
Who's there?
Campion. Is anything wrong?
No, there's nothing the matter.
But I thought I heard Mrs. Crocky.
Did you fix the light?
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. I got the key to the cellar.
Put it under the door.
Put it under the door.
Quiet. Just shove it under.
Okay, but are you sure there's nothing wrong?
Just go to bed.
Well, I'm going out for a walk. If anyone calls, I'll be back in half an hour.
Yeah, but he can't go. Maybe you go the way we did and he'll see him.
Did you hear me?
Sure. Mr. Campion.
Yes?
It's awful chilly out.
Well, if you'll observe closely, I'm the possessor of an overcoat and a rather serviceable Benny, which...
Wouldn't you like a nice cup of tea?
I beg your pardon.
You like tea, don't you, Mr. Campion?
I don't understand.
And tomorrow we can pick up a second-hand hot plate for you.
Yeah, sure. We'll get you a new one.
Mr. and Mrs. Crocky, please take a very close look at me. My name is Campion. I have been living here for 6 months, during which time you must have seen that I am not affluent in any way. I have no influence with the governor. I know no politicians. I know no statesmen. What little money I have, I spend for bare necessities. In short, Albus, Carolyn, why are you spreading this soft soap with such a lavish hand?
Well, we're willing to let bygones be bygones.
Oh? Well, thank you very much for the offer of tea, but I shall take a walk just the same.
He'll go the way we did. I know he will.
Forget. Now close the door. And what if he does? All he'll see is the Sedgwick lady in the alley. We didn't kill him. Anybody could see it was an Otto that done it. And Campion can't know about the money he had. Sedgwick was only here a few days.
But we gotta hide it. In case.
In the mattress with the rest.
Oh, we ain't got time.
Huh?
What if Mr. Campion does know about the money? What if he sees Mr. Sedgwick and he comes back here? We ain't got time to open the mattress and close it again.
The mattress is the best place. All our money has always been safe in the mattress.
No time. Put it in the fireplace until tomorrow morning.
Then what?
Well, when the bank's open, you go clear over to the other side of town. If it's a nice day, you can walk. Change one of the big bills into a little one.
You're crazy. What's that going to do?
You'll see. Now listen. And then go to another bank and put the little bills in the bank account.
Oh, we ain't got none.
You can open one. Maybe do the same thing for a week until all the money is out of here. See, nobody knows us on the other side of town.
Yeah. I see. That's a good idea.
Then when we're good and sure that nobody else knows about the money, we can take it out of the bank and bring it back here.
That's smart. Pretty smart, Carolyn. I bet even Mr. Smarty Pants Campion couldn't think of nothing like that.
That's a splendid idea, Albert and Carolyn. You sigh with relief and settle to sleep, which you can't. Then it's morning. You leave the house, Albert. In your pocket is $100 bill. You start for a bank across town, a bank where no one knows you. You reach the bank, give the bill to one of the tellers. He looks at you, hard.
Is there some suspicion in his glances? Is there, Albert? But he changes the bill and you hurry out. You start for another bank blocks away. But before you get there, a newspaper headline catches your eye. You can't read it all, but two words make you start and turn pale. Bank robbery. You read as much as you can, but your lifelong miserliness doesn't let you spend a nickel for that paper. One phrase strikes your eye. Marked money. Now you hurry home. The other bank is forgotten. You should take a taxi. But you don't think of it, even though fives and tens are clutched in your pocket. The dampness from your hand making them a pulpy mess. Now you're home. Safe.
Crikey.
I can't stop now, Mr. Campion.
Okay, so you can't stop, but don't you want to know why this policeman is here?
Policeman? Where?
Using the phone down the hall. It seems our good friend, Mr. Sedgwick, has some shady dealings.
Sedgwick?
Well, yes, you see...
I gotta go to Carolyn. I went out to get some medicine.
The law will wait, Mr. Crockett. The law will wait.
Carolyn!
Is the policeman gone, Albert?
No, he ain't.
I saw him coming down the street while I was looking out the window for you. I didn't say nothing. Then I heard the policeman and Mr. Campion talking.
Now, you tell me what they were saying.
I couldn't hear it good. I put my ear up against the door. I couldn't hear nothing but low talk.
Oh, money. That's what he's here for. That's what he's here for. Where's the rest of it?
Still in the fireplace. I'll get it. Are they going to arrest us, Albert? Oh, are they going to arrest us for taking the money from Sedgwick?
Newspaper said it was marked. The bandit took marked money from the bank. The serial numbers was all wrote down. That Mr. Sedgwick must have stolen it. Now we got it.
Oh, we got to give it back. Here, take it.
You're crazy. Then we got to admit we took it off Sedgwick. Sedgwick, he was a crook. We got to get rid of this money.
Albert, what are you doing?
Burning it.
Let go of my arm.
Let go of my arm. Out of the bank. He looked funny at me. He must have called the police when I left the bank.
You're burning it.
Now you shut up.
You're burning it. It's all burning.
Shut up.
Albert, you didn't have to hit me.
That's a policeman. You keep him away. Money's nearly gone. Then he can come in. Go ahead. Don't stand there like a fish. Go ahead.
Who is it?
Campion with a stout minion of the law. Name of, He says his name is McCarthy.
Just a couple of seconds more. Just a couple of seconds.
I ain't dressed.
Oh, come, Mrs. Crocky. It's after 10. You were up early this morning. I heard you.
It's done, Carolyn. Now you can let him in.
Well, Albert and Carolyn, your chase is won, isn't it? You thought it was your lucky night that your good friend Mr. Sedgwick lying dead in the alley would turn out to be a profitable investment after all. You thought you'd be able to stuff his money into your mattress with the rest of your hoard, didn't you? But there were too many strings attached to that $5,000. That's why you're relieved now as you watch the last of it smolder in the grate as the door opens to admit Sergeant McCarthy and Mr. Campion.
Well, what is it, officer? What about Mr. Sedgwick?
Well, when we found his body lying there in the alley, we had to find out where he was staying. That's why I'm here. Now, you say he's been living here, eh?
Only for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know nothing about him.
Well, of course, honest folks wouldn't. He had a record a yard long and more aliases than you could shake a stick at.
As soon as I read about the bank robbery, I said to Carolyn, that Sedgwick is the kind of man who looks like a robber.
Sedgwick, a bank robber? Is that right, Sergeant?
Oh, Lord, no, Mr. Campion. Small stuff with Sedgwick's lying sneak, even. Why, he'd sneak little stuff out of hotel rooms in boarding houses. Say, is there anything missing from here? Trinkets or some cash, eh?
No, nothing we know of.
Ah, good, good. No, Sedgwick was no bank robber. Besides, the bank robbery you read about is all cleared up. All the money's recovered.
No, that's not right.
Well, it's all in the morning papers.
But Crockies never buy newspapers, Sergeant McCarthy. Papers cost a whole nickel.
Sedgwick had $5,000.
$5,000? Well, how do you know?
He had it, we know.
Not a penny on him when we found him.
You say that he robbed hotels and boarding houses?
Yes. Albert, Carolyn, did you by any chance keep money in your room here?
Well, now, did you?
The mattress!
Here, the mattress! It's been slid open! I say he's not all money! He's gone!